Good morning, church. How are we? It's very strange because I'm preaching to our worship team this morning here live at the building, and I'm really excited to be opening the Word of God with you today. I just want to start by just bigging up our worship team who have served us so well, and our sound and technical team as well, who have served us so well through this second lockdown and have spent time down here at the building, pre-recording and doing live streaming so that you can experience church at home in this time and in this season. Well, this morning, I'm excited to be opening the scriptures with you. And wherever you are and whatever time you are listening or watching this service, I believe God wants to speak to you and into your life in this moment together. You see, the Bible says, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. So no matter what you are facing today, God wants to speak to you and into your lives. Our scripture this morning is from the book of Psalms, and it should come up on the screen shortly. We're going to be reading from Psalm 57. It says these words. These are words that David writes, and we'll go into a bit more of the background of this verse in a second, but let me read these verses to you. It says, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Amen. Well, let me give you a bit of a context and background to those words in the Psalms. You see, David wrote those words in the depths of one of the darkest caves, in most probably one of the darkest moments of his life, a moment when his life and his enemy was pressing in. You see, his enemy at that time was Saul, King Saul, because David had been pronounced as king, and Saul was so jealous that he pursued him to kill him. David was literally fleeing for his life and finds himself hiding in a cave. And if anything, what David was experiencing in that moment didn't seem like the time to start talking about being steadfast, yet he did. And when I read my Bible and notice moments like this, I take note. I take note because clearly, there's something important that God is wanting you and I to learn from this moment. The word steadfast in the Hebrew means to be deep-rooted, to have strong foundations, to be fixed, to be stable, to be secure. So in a time of uncertainty for David, he chooses to make a declaration to God that he is going to be steadfast. He says these words so clearly, my heart, O God, is steadfast. And what David is saying there, my heart, O God, is deep-rooted, is fixed, it's secure, it's stable in you. And I believe today, like never before, God is looking to his people to be unshakable, to be a people who are steadfast, to know that he is God of the heavens and the earth. That time of uncertainty, we are fixed and secure in the fact our God is with us. Amen. My title today is Unshakable. And over the rest of our time together, I want to look at how we can be a people who are unshakable, drawing from some of the principles from David and this moment in his life. The first point I want to draw on this morning is that for us to be a people who are unshakable, we have to understand that we have a foundation which is unshakable. You see, having an unshakable faith in God is much more than just merely hoping things are going to turn out all right. It's much deeper and more profound than a belief that things will somehow work out for the best. It's not about having a naive optimism. Unshakable faith in God is based on the very character of God. Come on, church. The very character of God. And when I read my Bible, this is what my Bible tells me about the character of God. God is all-powerful, good and wise, full of love. And when we understand and know what God's character is in our lives and understand this about God, we have an assurance that God is worthy of our trust and praise and adoration. As we turn to God, his character pours out in our lives. And as we read these scriptures from the book of Psalms, we understand something about David and what David understood about God. You see, David understood the character of God. He understood that even though there was a great force against him, the person who stood with him was much greater than any force that could come against him. In verse 1, David makes this declaration, "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Where is your foundation? When disaster hits, are you turning to the world or are you turning to God? Where are you turning to? As I was preparing this word for you today, I was reminded of a great time in my life when I was around the age of 12 and my parents had the opportunity to take us to America, to a trip to America. And to make the most of that trip, they made the decision for us to hire a car and travel around the whole of California. And whilst I've got loads of memories of that trip, and let me tell you, I'm sure there'll be more stories that may come out of this trip to America. The one that I remember the most right now is our trip to the Grand Canyon. You see, my dad, being the great adventurer, decided what a great memory it would be to be able to fly over the Grand Canyon. And we, as kids, we all got so excited about this opportunity to come to America and to be able to fly over the Grand Canyon and experience the views of the Grand Canyon from above. And I remember my dad going off to buy the tickets for this plane trip, for this tourist attraction. And my dad got the tickets. And as a family, we waited with my mum. And as my dad brought these tickets back, as kids, we were so excited. And we were led by the tour guide out onto the runway. And we started walking past all these lovely private jets and state-of-the-art aircrafts. And as we kept walking past the aeroplanes, all these lovely aeroplanes, we're thinking as kids, is it this plane? And no, we keep walking past, it's not this plane. Is it this plane? No, it's not that plane. We keep walking past. And as we got to the end of the airway, and there should be a picture that comes up, we got to this plane. And yes, this was the plane that we flew over the Grand Canyon with. And to be fair, this was the closest I could find to the one, but it actually looked a little bit worse than this. And there were 10 people crammed into this aircraft. And if you've ever flown on a small aircraft, you'll know that a small aircraft is a confined space. And on that day, it was a very hot day, and we went up into the sky. We went to fly over the Grand Canyon, but as we hit over the Grand Canyon, straight away, we hit turbulence. And if you know anything about turbulence, it's this, that for an aircraft to fly over an object at a certain height, it may hit turbulence because of what is below it, what is causing the airways to cause that turbulence. And that day was most probably one of the worst times of my life on an aircraft. And as I told my siblings about me sharing this story in today's service, they all laughed and joked because the only thing they can remember is me being sick in a sick bag on that day because of that turbulence. But my point is this. When we hit turbulence in life, it's important to know what our foundation is. On that day, my foundation was in a small aircraft, and that aircraft didn't have the stability that I needed on that day. It was up and down. It felt like it went side to side, and it didn't give me the security that I needed. But in life, we experience times where there is a real sense of turbulence coming against us. Maybe today you can relate to that like never before. In our world, we are in a season where there is a lot of turbulence. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of things going off in our world that are changing and not the normal way of life that we've been used to. Yet, I want to remind us today that we have a foundation. We have a foundation in God which is unshakable. As we turn to Him, He will bring strength. He will bring stability in your life. And I know today, whatever you are facing, whatever is coming against you, I know that if you come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you will find peace and rest in Him. My second point today is awaken your praise. You see, to be a people who are unshakable, we have to understand something about the weapons that God has placed within us. And what I love about David is David was a man who understood the weapons that God had placed within him. You see, as David makes this declaration of "my heart is steadfast," I don't believe David is talking about feelings here. David is telling God that he has made a decision deep within that no matter what, no matter how, I choose God. I choose God in this moment, and my heart is settled on the matter. And for some of us, we need to come to that point today that no matter what is going off, no matter what is happening in our lives, we choose God. And we choose God to be the king in our lives and to be the ruler over our lives and what is going off in our lives. You see, what I love about David in his next breath is this. He says, "I will sing and make music." This tells me that there's something really important about praise. And being unshakable in God is not just about grinning and bearing it or trying hard or putting on a brave smile. Sometimes, as the British people, we love to grin and bear it and push through and try hard and just put on that brave smile. But that's not what God wants for His people. It's about making a decision to come before God and rest in Him, to find joy in Him. You see, David's unshakable heart could be steadfast because of the fact he had an unshakable God. He knew that he could take joy in God because God first took joy in him. And today I want you to know that today you can take joy in God because He has first taken joy in you. It was that revelation that stirred him to speak to himself and to his feelings and say these words, "Awake, my soul. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing to you among the people, for great is your love." What is very clear to me is that what was important to him is not to be delivered from his enemy or to trap his enemy in any shape or form. But those words that came from his heart were sincere and honest words. And he would rather see that God is exalted. And here at New Horizon Church, one of our core values is that we are a reverent church. And as a people, we have to have that revelation that above all else what is going off around us, God can be exalted. God can be lifted high. You see, praise is one of the greatest weapons against the enemy that we could ever have. Let me give you a few reasons why. Number one, praise is countercultural. Let me tell you why. In a world where self is very apparent, in the natural, our experience tells us to run to self, to run to things that are shakable in this world. But praise turns us to the living God. Praise turns us to the King of Kings, the one who can be lifted up high, the one who can defeat our enemy, the one who sits on the throne of heaven and earth and sees the power of God pour out into this world. Parents, I just want to speak to you just for a second. You see, because we have a responsibility, parents, to teach our children this principle. We have a responsibility to teach our children the responsibility that praise is something of power. It is a weapon against the enemy. I remember when my son Isaac came to us at the age of 5, scared of being scared of the dark, wouldn't want to go to sleep without his light off. And my wife, Becky, found a song written by Jeremy Camp. And the words are really simple. It says, "You are my defender. You fight for me." And what has been built in my son is this, that as he goes to sleep, even as he falls to sleep, he worships God with all of his heart, knowing that God is watching over him, that he is his defender, that he fights for him even when he's asleep. And he doesn't have to fear. And parents, I want to encourage you that don't be afraid to praise around your children. Let them see you worship. Let them see you praise God in your household. Because the only reason why I know how to praise is because I saw my parents praising. And I'm thankful that other people around me, spiritual people, have taught me what it is to praise Jesus. My second thing is this, that praise changes perspective. You see, when we praise God, it becomes less about us and what's going off around us, but our focus becomes more fixed on God and what God can do in our lives. I believe that today, if you will take a chance on God, not just a chance, sorry, that's the wrong word. If you will put your faith in God and know that he is God over your life and worship him with all your heart, I know that God will change the perspective and the situation that you are going through right now. My third and final point with this point of awaken our praise is this: praise changes situations. You see, over the last few weeks, I found myself listening to a worship song called "We Praise You." The words in this song say this: "Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be the weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise, let it arise. We sing your name in the dark and it will change everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise, let praise arise." Why are the songs that we sing so important? Well, let me tell you, they are a decoration of the promises of God over your life. And as you sing those words, you're not only worshiping God, but you are declaring the goodness over your God, over your life and what God can do in your life. And I know that as you speak those words over your life, situations will change because the power of God will pour into your life and you'll see a completely different perspective of what's going off. You see, there comes a time in all of our lives, whether you know God, whether you've lived all your life knowing God, where we have to awaken our praise once more. You see, we can become settled. We can become sidetracked because we live in the world. But God calls us not to live of the world, because we live in a world which tries to pull us down and is full of darkness. Yet there is a light shining bright, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he wants to come into your life. And maybe you've not, maybe you've never experienced Jesus at all. I want to give you an opportunity at the end to come and know Jesus afresh in your life. Because Jesus wants to come into your life and bring change into your life and help you carry the weight, the burden that you are carrying in this time. You see, my final point is this. What cannot be shaken will remain strong. Hebrews 12, verse 25 to 29 says these words. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicated the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. You see, earthly and material things can be shaken and will never last forever. Yet the kingdom of God is unshakable, church. David knew that better was one day in his courts than a thousand elsewhere. David knew that his heart was only unshakable when he was in the presence of God. And everything can be shaken around us, but God will always remain. And I want to say to you today that in your situation, whatever you are facing, whatever is going off in your world, God is with you. God will remain the same forever and ever. And as we turn to him, we can worship a God who is unshakable. We can come under the everlasting arms of a God who is unshakable. Maybe today you are watching and listening to this message and you're going through a season of tremendous turbulence. You've never experienced anything like this before in your life. I want to say to you that God is with you. I want to say to you that we have an inheritance in the kingdom of God which is unshakable. And we have a God who is a consuming fire who can conquer all that is surrounding us. I know that this season, coronavirus, what we are facing with coronavirus is a season. It's not our forever. It may have changed some things in our lives, but sometimes change is good, and some of the things that needed to be gone have to be gone. However, in our world, there are things that we've lost that are very close to us, that we are grieving for, that are people that we are grieving for, and God understands that. God knows your pain, and I want you to know that as we come before God today, he will bring peace into your life. There may be family members that you've lost today, and it has shaken your complete world. But I know that if we come before God, he will bring stability, strength, and a firm rooting for us to know security in him. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says these words, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." And as we come to a close, I want to spend some time fixing our eyes once more on Jesus. You see, to be a people who are unshakable, we need to know our foundation. We need to awaken the praise within. But ultimately, it starts by coming back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. and fixing our eyes once more on him. So I'm going to invite Rosie up in a second. And we're going to spend some time in our homes right now, or wherever you are, worshiping God. This is an old hymn, and it's called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I just pray right now, as Rosie and Caroline lead us in this song, and the words are spoken into your life and worship fills your house, I pray that God will touch your hearts. And I'm going to come back during the song, after the song, and I want to give an opportunity for us to turn to God. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your life. Maybe today you're watching this, you've listened to the message, and you're thinking to yourself, I want what Pastor Steve is talking about. I want what the words have been spoken about. Well, let me tell you today, that is free. There's no cost to that. And today we're going to give an opportunity for you to ask Jesus into your life. Or maybe you've been so far away from God. There's a time where you need to come back to him. As Christians, sometimes we can lose our way. We can get focused with everything that's going off in the world. And I really believe that God is wanting us to come back to him and into his arms and his safety, to know that he is an unshakable God who is the King of the heavens and the earth, the ruler of the heavens and the earth. So let's worship God. You can feel what I'm feeling right now, and that is the presence of God. And wherever you are, I know that God wants to speak into your life. I know that God wants to come and be part of what you are going through right now. And whether you don't know Jesus, or whether you've been a Christian all of your life, I know that God wants you to turn back to Him. And right in this moment, we're going to give an opportunity for us to turn back to Him and to lean on Him. If you have never invited Jesus into your life, let me ask you to pray with me. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can do that right now. I'm going to read these words and we're going to pray together. So please pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. You came. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Maybe today you've been so far away from God, yet you've been a Christian all of your life. But you're feeling like you need to turn back to Him. Let me pray with you today as we close. Lord Jesus, whatever is going off in my world right now, I hit pause. And I make a declaration to you once more, Lord God, that my heart is steadfast. My heart, O God, is steadfast. And I lift my voice in praise to you, to worship you, the King of Kings, and say, Lord, come and have your way in my life once more. Come into my life afresh. I come under your wings, under your shelter, and know that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords, that in you, you are unshakable, which means that my life is secure in the fact of you are with me. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been great to be worshiping together with you today. And we hope you've enjoyed our service. We just want to give you a quick reminder to book your seats for next Sunday's service. It's going to be fantastic. We get to be here together in the service, in our building, in our church building. Parents, please don't forget Kids Church. We would love to see you all our kids on the Kids Church Zoom this afternoon. And we'd love to see you. I pray that God blesses you, keeps you, and may His face shine upon you throughout this week and for the many weeks to come. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.